The church is described in Ephesians 5:27 as a glorious church. Having been conceived in the mind of God as being an integral part of this plan of redemption for fallen man, the church is indeed glorious. The church exists to glorify God, Ephesians 3:21. Every soul that is saved and thus added to the church glorifies God for his grace and mercy. The key word here is added. One can join any denomination, but he cannot join the Lord's church. The Bible tells us that the Lord himself adds people to his church in Acts 2:47. What is the church? Which church does he add men to? What are the requirements, if any, that those living in the first century met before being added to the church? First of all, we note that the church is of divine origin. She is the medium through which God chose to manifest his grace. God's plan to save man through Jesus and his church originated before the world was created, according to Ephesians 1, 3-10. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1-11 teaches, it was through the church that God determined to save men of all nations. The Greek word translated church in our English Bibles is ekklesia. Ekklesia literally means to call out of, and therefore refers to persons who are called out. The word church then technically could refer to any group of people who have been called together for any reason. Obviously, however, the church has come to take on a meaning relative to the Christian community. The church, as we understand it, refers to those individuals who have been called by the gospel of Jesus Christ out of a life of sin and into fellowship with God. The church, then, is not some elaborate, expensive structure where people assemble to worship God, but rather the people themselves who have been called out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of God. Those persons who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ make up the church. This agrees with Acts 20:28, which tells us that the church was purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is of Christ in a sense that no other institution is or can be. Jesus promised that he would build it, Matthew 16:18. He bought and paid for it, according to Acts 20, verse 28. He is the head of it, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. It is his. The congregations formed from city to city were churches of Christ, according to Romans 16:16. The phrase of Christ simply indicates possession or ownership. In fact, there was no other church in existence in the New Testament scriptures than the church of Christ. Matthew 16:18 states that Jesus would build his church. The church is God's building or house. In 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul says that the house of God is the church of the living God. Peter explains that the church is a spiritual house in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Therefore, the house of God is not a material building, but rather the souls of those saved by Jesus Christ. Just as your house is the place where you live, God lives in his house, the church. God resides in the church through his Holy Spirit who dwells in the heart of each Christian. God does not live in another house. The church of Christ, as revealed in Scripture, is God's dwelling place, and he lives in no other religious organization. The church is also called the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of his body, which is the church. And Ephesians 4, verse 4 tells us there is one body. The church is also described as the bride of Christ in Ephesians 5, verses 22 through 33. Jesus is the bridegroom, the church is his bride, and therefore she takes on or should wear his name. Every religious body or institution that has been organized has some terms of admission. Some may be as simple as making a statement or proclamation to the effect that one wants to be identified with a certain organization. Some churches, on the other hand, have quite stringent requirements that must be met before allowing admission. Some have even been known to take a vote on whether or not someone might be allowed to join their church. In the first century church, the terms of admission are quite clear. The church was established in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost in AD 33. A careful examination of the passage reveals that after Peter finished preaching the good news about Jesus, he concluded that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. The audience then asked the question in verse 37, what shall we do? Peter responded in the next verse, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 41 states, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Then in verse 47 we read, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The New King James Version translates Acts 2:47 as follows, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now let's notice the relationship between baptism and the church. The Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 12:13 that we are baptized into one body. That one body is the church of Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and Colossians 1, verses 18 and 24. Therefore, we may conclude that when one is baptized into the body, he is also baptized into the church. This truth is also taught in Acts 2:47, as we've noticed. The Lord added to his church the 3,000 individuals who were baptized on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is the life principle of the body of Christ. Anyone who is outside of the body, the church, is lost. This is why Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:23 that Christ is the Savior of the body. Those who have not been baptized into Christ are not saved because the Holy Spirit who is in the body has not made them alive. Paul uses the phrase in Christ over 150 times in his writings. People are either in Christ or out of Christ. One must be in Christ in order to be saved. The phrase in Christ is synonymous with being in the body of Christ, the church. Anyone outside his body remains lost in their sins. People are often heard saying that the church can't save anyone. It is true that no denomination can save anyone. However, even though the Lord does the saving, he does so in his church. No one who is outside of the body of Christ can be saved from their sins. The church of Christ is a glorious, divine, blood-bought institution. It is comprised of the saved, in other words, those who have been called by Christ through the gospel. Through their obedience to the gospel plan of salvation, the Lord has added them to his church.